Pray with me. Lord God, we give you thanks for this blessed day. Amen. Give you thanks for the awesome music we've already heard, oh God, and all the wonderful things that have taken place thus far. We give you thanks for our host. We give you thanks for the spirit she brings. So now, Lord, let me be your vessel. Let me decrease as you increase. May the words I speak bring you praise, O Lord, and never, never shame. Enlighten our minds, soften our hearts, and unite us, that we, your people, will work to make the world a better place, heaven on earth, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. The sermon for this morning, before and after. Before and after. You know, as we get older, or as we grow older or grow up, a lot of our time is spent in reflection, the time before or after major events in our lives, the time before you married Bo Willie or the time after you married Bo Willie, the time before you married Lula Bell or after you married Lula Bell, the time before you graduated or after. And sometimes before and after are good, bad, and sometimes they're scar tissue. When the before and after happens to be with the loved one, that we remember time as before mom passed away and after she passed away, before you lost a child, or before so many befores and afters, and our lives are spent thinking about those things. And maybe we think about what if this had not happened or that hadn't happened, but life happens. Life doesn't have a back door. You can't slip back in and change things. And then there's no dress rehearsal. This is it. You on stage. And so what do you do with the time you spent? But as we think about our befores and our afters, they tug at our hearts. This rich young ruler had to think about before and after. He thinks about before and after his meeting of the master, his confrontation. He has servants, he has all the best foods, the best wine, the best home, the best environment. He has it all. And yet there's a hole in his soul, a place in his heart. He needs something else, and he figures out, okay, this master has come by, maybe he can tell me what I need. He's heard about eternal life, that you can live on and live forever, a glorious time with the Lord. How do I get there? And so he confronts Jesus, and Jesus, in a loving manner, tells him about all the material stuff he has. You have wealth, you have all of this stuff. What must I do? I've obeyed the laws. I've not killed anybody. I've not robbed. I've not cheated. I've been a good little boy, or good young man. So what's next? And Jesus looks at him and says, well, you've got stuff. The stuff you got will pass away one day. But let me tell you about the stuff that's in heaven. Let me tell you about something even greater. I need you to sell your stuff and make the world environment around with poor people and people who have nothing enrich their lives while I enrich your life in a spiritual, enrich their lives in a physical manner, which you turn into a spiritual manner, but I can enrich your life spiritually like right now. You should just obey and follow me. And after, what's his choice? He chooses to walk away, knowing that that hole is still there, because he can't imagine giving up his servants, giving up the best of meats, the best of desserts, the best hors d'oeuvres, the best of everything. He can't imagine not having anybody to wait on him hand and foot. He can't imagine not people not bowing down to him and not being afraid of him. He can't imagine it. So he goes away sorrowfully. Now, this text is often misunderstood by most Christians, because we like to reflect on the fact that this man was rich, and his richness, his material stuff, is not the power of the lesson. The power of the lesson is obedience. What God says to him, Jesus says to him, is, I need you to obey me. Do this. This is a heck of a sacrifice for somebody who loves stuff. You obey me, and I promise you that you'll have even greater rewards later on, but he wants the immediate. He wants this and gratification. So he goes away sorrowfully. And too many Christian folk look at him and say, well, he's just talking about the rich folk. No, this story implies and talks about me, you, all of us. When Jesus asked for obedience, what is your after, before you met Jesus and after you meet him? It depends. If you meet him and turn him down, your before is going to be, you know, your after is going to be like your before. But when you meet him and you listen and you obey and he says, I need you like the disciples, I need you to stop what you're doing, give up what you got and follow me. Because life matters. Follow me if you want a purpose. Follow me if you want life to have some meaning. Follow me if you want to have some depth in your life. If you want the intangibles, follow me. But the world keeps telling us and keeps telling us and keeps telling us, grab it. Grab all you can. Hold on to all you can. Just get it, get it, get it. You've heard me say many times what the great Joel Ivey said about the rat race. Even at the end, if you win, you're still a rat. We want to be people who have not engaged ourselves in a rat race of life, who are trying to keep up with the Joneses, who are trying to achieve more, have a bigger house, a better car, more land, more wealth, more stuff. Jesus says, evolve, grow. As if you meet me and you decide that you will accept me, then your growth starts immediately, and the growth is a continuation, a day by day, growing more powerful, growing through prayer, through meditation, through service, through commitment, through relationships. It's a growing thing because you said, yes, follow me, but not follow me to parties, not follow me to fame and fortune, follow me to the field of service. Follow me to where you give yourself, you lie prostrate on the altar, you lay it out. I give myself to you, Jesus. I give myself to you. You are the power to mold me, shape me, make me after your will. Whatever you say do, I'll do. If you want me to be a doctor, go to doctors without borders, I'll do that. If you want me to go to Haiti and help the poor, I'll do that. If you want me to teach in the inner city, I'll do that. If you want me to just say hi to the elderly, take food, whatever you want me to do. If you just want me to pray God for the kingdom, I'll do it. Just tell me. I'm asking you, Lord, what do you want from me? And when you ask me, I'll tell my family. I share with my family. When the world says, what will you do? I can say what the scripture says. It's for me and my house. Yes, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because before I take a bite in my mouth, and my children are modeling after me, I will raise my hands and thank God for the bread on the table. I will thank God for the job I've been given. I'll thank God that my car moves. I'll thank God that my babies are warm in their beds. I'll just give thanks to God. My life will be one of continuous praise and prayer. Praise you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Whatever befalls me, whatever happens, thank you. I've got another day's journey. Thank you. Now, what will we do at this day, Lord? It will be joyful. It will be great. It will be wonderful. It will be one awesome, great adventure. And we'll grow. I firmly believe that we have trouble in our world today because most people who claim to be Christians are malnourished. We are malnourished Christians. And how do you get your nourishment? Because we decided we won't be fed. We have enough. We think we know enough. We've done enough. And we pause in our tracks. I've done enough. I've done enough stuff. I've done enough for the world. I have done enough. You can never do enough. As you live, you can never do it. Every day is a day of giving back to God, giving your life away. It is not one of contentment and resentment. It is not a life of bring it all to me, Lord. It's a life of asking your community, asking your field of faith, asking your people, what can we do together? How can our journey together make the world a better place? We're in this life wrapped together. The waves are coming over us. It's crashing against us. But as long as we hold tight to one another, as long as you hold tight and keep everybody in the boat, as long as we make sure everybody's got a life raft on, as long as we make sure that the weather doesn't hurt the babies or the elderly, as long as we make sure that everybody is safe, it's okay. Because I want my before and after to matter. After I meet Jesus, I want people to say he has met the Savior and the Savior controls his life. The Savior controls his destiny and the Savior gives him more joy and abundant joy.
You know, he didn't have the best car. He didn't have the best house. He didn't have the best food. But when he comes in, he's just so happy. He is just shouting and dancing and jumping around, praising God because of the breath in his body, in his lungs, and the blood does warm in his veins and everything God has given him. He's grateful. He's more than grateful. He is grateful, Lord, because he understands life. About life before and after. Before he met you, he was nothing. Before he met you, he had no power, Lord. Before he met you, he was lost like a sparrow in a hurricane. But when you reached out and when you said, I will mold you, I will shape you, just take my hand and pull me out of the muck and the mire and pull me out of all the hell and the evil in my life and said to me, I will shape you and make you, you just got to give up your life. Give up your stuff and obey me, follow me. That's what I want. I want blind obedience. I want whatever I say do. I need you to do it without hesitation. I don't need you to say, well, Lord, I looked out there and the rain was coming down, Lord. And I looked out there and it was cold, Lord. And I looked out there and the people looked frightening, Lord. And I looked out there, no more excuses. I've got things for you to do. And understand, boy, understand, girl, that as long as I go with you, I am more than the world against you. As long as I go with you, and as long as you have the faith, as long as you believe, as long as you trust, when you met me, did you say yes? And if you said yes, are you still on the battlefield? You can tell somebody still on the battlefield by their praise, by their prayer, and by their production. Jesus tells us, I need you to pray. I need you to praise and I need some production. If all you're doing is just praying and praising and there's no production, you're not following the master. Lord, I prayed a lot. I prayed all day and I praised all day. And he's going to say, well, open the door and do something all day. Open the door and do what I've called you to do. Open the door and do something to make the world a better place. Open the door, get out there and get going. Our bodies change and sometimes we don't have the energy to do what we used to do. I used to do ministry with children and young adults and now I don't have the same energy to walk 20 miles, 10 miles and camping and doing the kind of stuff. But I still understand that I can pray. I can walk into a house and build relationships. I can take the time to talk to somebody. I can visit somebody. I can support somebody. Whatever the changes come upon us, God gives us toward those changes. And he said, just the way you serve might change, but you still got to serve. You never get too old to do something. You never get too young to do something. Do what God has called us to do because we are children of a living God. We are the ones who set the standard. We are the ones who make a difference. We are the ones who support the work of Christ, and we are the ones who work to make the world a better place. There are too many folk out there who have turned a blind eye to injustice. Too many folk out there who, because of the loss of what the stuff they might have, don't do anything. There's no reason that folk who have 10 million, 5 million followers on Facebook can't tell those followers, you need to get a shot for this COVID situation. There's no reason somebody who's got that many followers can't tell people you need to be serving folk. There's no reason people who've got that kind of popularity can tell people that you belong to the family of God and too much is given, much is required. There's no reason we can't talk up, speak up, and work up. There is no reason we can't say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and we will not let this happen again. We will not let people be mistreated. We will not let people be hurt. We will not let people be looked down upon. We will not let people be put upon. We will not let people be taken advantage of. No more predatory lending. No more slumlords. No more of any of that stuff. We will take care of the kingdom of God because we are the church and we will stand in the gap. And if we don't stand in the gap, there's nobody left to stand. We talk about law enforcement. We talk about all the things that we need. Well, it can't be done without our support. All the things that we want the world to do, they need our support to do it. They need our support to hold them accountable. They need our support to affirm them when they do right. They need our support to know that we're going to have integrity. They need our support that we will not let things happen in our communities, in our neighborhoods. The world needs to know that we stand for that that's righteous and right. The world needs to know that we have met him. And after we've met him, a change has come upon us, an awesome change in our lives. A change that says, I'm not the same person I used to be. A change that says my integrity matters. A change that says my work ethic matters. A change that says my honor matters. To live without honor, to live without integrity. We listen to politicians who change their tune every day, who spew hate and malice and want to control the lives of folk and don't really care. We see these evil, heinous people, and we can choose to either hate them or we can choose to love them through our actions so they'll understand and know we despise who you are. God has called us to love you, but we will not tolerate that behavior. We will not tolerate it. We will not allow it to happen. We will not let you do the things that you have been doing because we are the church and we will stand there. And even if we have to lay down our lives for those who have not, we're willing to do it. We're willing to be the church because we understand and know what God said to the rich young ruler, I will give you a place in the kingdom. I will have a place for you. Don't worry about being safe down here, that you're going to be safe for all eternity. Just worry about doing what I've called you to do. I'm not going to put you in harm's way just for the sake of being in harm's way. But when I call you to do something that might require you not to be as safe as you like to be, you do it. Because the Spirit is going to go with you. And when we go out with the love of God, we can make a difference in a world that's gotten so evil. We can make a change. When I was sent here nearly sent the centenary nearly, well, in 2017, several of the top, I call them pillars of the church, called me personally. Miss Charlene Parker was one of those persons. And if you know Miss Charlene, wonderful lady, she tells it like it is. She doesn't pull any punches. If she needs to say it to you, the way she needs to say it to you is always in love. But she said to me, there are good people in seminary. You just got to put a fire under folk. They're good people, and they do. And we can do more, and we will do more. When you have pillars in your church saying, we will do more, we need to do more. When we have folk in the church who say, we exist not just for ourselves, but we exist for kingdom building. We exist to make a difference. We exist. And when they say that to their children and their grandchildren, and they know the ancestors have said it to them, we have something to pass on. Because we're talking about people who have met Jesus and said, I will follow you. I will blindly follow you and do what you have called me to do, and I will give all of me, not little of me, not sit on the fence, not straddle the fence. I will give all of me. We got people who are good people. Build a fire. The church got to build a fire on the people. Set them ablaze through the ministry, through the preaching, through the teaching, through the music, set them ablaze so that they'll have that fire and zeal to go into the work and say, we can do more, we will do more, we wanna do more, we gonna do more, because we wanna build a kingdom. The choice is ours this blessed day. What will we choose to do? As the world looks at us and mocks us and says the church has no power, what will we choose to do? Will we cower in our tents and in our churches and in our cathedrals and hide in our houses? Or will we boldly go into the world proclaiming we are children of a living God, that we are sons and daughters of the King, a Father who has cattle on 1,000 hills, a Father who can heal the sick, who can raise the dead, a Father who can make the prison bars go away, a Father who can break the prison chains, a Father who can heal, a Father who can tell COVID, be still, a Father who can tell the evil people in this world who are putting our babies in prison, they will not happen anymore. We serve a God who's got that kind of power. And if we understand that kind of power, we stand defiant in the face of all the craziness and say, I've got the cross and I'm going to keep my eye on the cross. I'm carrying my cross because Jesus called me into it. He called me to do it. So it's for you and your house. Who are you going to serve? Will you choose this day to serve a righteous and a living God? Will you choose this day to be what God has called you to be? God keeps calling us, and he keeps calling us. Are we listening? Are we listening to him saying, put your stuff away? That stuff will corrupt. It will rot away. It will rust away. It will be blown away with the nearest wind or tornado. He's calling us to say, I've given you something far richer and far deeper. And when the world is bitter and bad, you've got this blazing joy in your heart that you, when people call you ugly, you can look up and say, God sees me as being a beautiful child of God. When people call you pitiful and pathetic, you say, God sees me as something magnificently made. When people want to put you down and say your house doesn't fit their neighborhood, I have my house fits the kingdom of God. My car fits the kingdom of God. My children fit the kingdom of God. We are kingdom of God builders, and that's who we are and who we choose to be. So on this blessed day and every blessed day, as we look at our befores and our afters, what do we ask ourselves? After I met him, a change has come over me. After I met him, a change has come into my life. After I met him, Stevie Wonder has a powerful song called A Place in the Sun. And he says, I got to find me a place in the sun where there's room for everyone. We have to have a place in the sun where all God's children can rally around the cross. And nobody's seeking, nobody's needing to find the place, because we have found the place. The place is called the kingdom of God, where we take care of one another and God is pleased. Amen, amen, and amen. Let us pray. Now, Lord, our afters, help us, O God, to after we have met you and you have truly set our souls on fire. You built a fire under us, Lord. Help us to reach and teach and preach and do all that you have called us to do. For those who are listening on Facebook, O God, and who have that zeal to put a fire, with the fire put under them, have said yes to you, have said, Lord, I want you to come into my life. I repent of my sins. Mold me and shape me. I'm ready to be obedient. They can reach out to us at Seminary, United Methodist Church. They know we've given them the means and mechanisms, but if Seminary is too far from you, if you found a place that claims God as Lord and Savior, Jesus is Lord and Savior, any church would be willing to guide and direct you. We would love to have you in our family, but we want you, more importantly, we want you in the family of God. So seek us or seek a church that's open near you. And those who will be with us during glory sightings, the same is true for you. You can say to us, I want to be a part of your family. We will guide and direct you. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen, amen, and amen. Mm-hmm.